A house cannot be made habitable in a day. And, after all, how few days go to make up a century. Bram Stoker, Dracula. Part 1. Scattered Memories, Mine and Others. 1973 to 1997. Chapter 1. 1993. I was at home, grounded for stealing cigarettes from Johnny's corner store, on the day my baby brother Paul was eaten by the house at the end of the street. Paul was 8 and I was 13. I wasn't there when it happened, but it was my fault anyway. The house, the old McIntyre place, had been abandoned for 20 years when Paul and his friends Richie and Jake snuck in through the back door. They weren't supposed to get hurt, none of them. It was only a dare, a childish thing. I couldn't have known what would happen. Neighborhood teenagers had used a certain broken window on the side for years, had smoked and drank and gotten inside each other's pants in the dusty, rat-infested living room of the former residence. Those kids always said the place was creepy, that there were bloodstains on the walls. Some of them claimed to have heard noises upstairs, but this kind of talk was mostly dismissed. There was always someone in every group, usually a boy, who wanted to terrorize the girls into squeezing closer, and saying there were noises upstairs was an easy way to do that. Nobody ever said the house was dangerous. That is, beyond the obvious fact that it was an old, rotting house. More than one kid needed an extra tetanus shot after going in there, but nobody died. Nobody died until Paul. I should probably say that nobody died because of the thing in the house. Because somebody had died there, that's for sure. 7 somebodies died there, and they died in such horrible ways that no one had wanted to live in the house ever again. Which was why it was abandoned and rotting. Which was why it had become the perfect place for the kids in the neighborhood to have a little thrill of danger without actually experiencing it. Except for Paul and Richie and Jake. 3 went in and 2 came out. And it was my fault. It was a rambling 3-story frame house, unusual in an area that had mostly 2 or 3 flats made of brick or graystone, canted a little to one side like there was subsidence beneath. Chicago was built on a swamp, so the subsidence kind of made sense, except none of the other houses in the neighborhood tilted that way. As far as I knew, no one ever went up to the 3rd floor. Most kids don't even like to go into their own attics, never mind the attic of a building that had holes in the stairs. One time, Scott Gunther tried to go up those stairs on a dare, and his leg went through the 3rd step. His pant leg tore all the way up to the hem of his briefs, and he was pretty embarrassed about that when they yanked him out. The 2 other boys who dared him were laughing, until Scott's eyes rolled up into his head and he collapsed. That was when they realized the broken wood in the step had carved a deep, jagged line in Scott's flesh, from his ankle to his thigh, and he was bleeding out while they laughed. Scott was a few years older than me, and he never wore shorts again, because the little kids would ask him about the scar. The neighbors across the street, the Rileys, said they heard Paul and Richie and Jake screaming sometime around 3:30 p.m. Mr. Riley was watering the front lawn and listening to the Cubs game on the radio. Mrs. Riley was clipping coupons from the weekly circular at her kitchen table. The window above the sink was open. She told me later that she heard the 3 boys over the sound of the game and the traffic on the street, even though the kitchen was in the back of the house like most Chicago apartments. There was an ear-splitting scream, high-pitched and terrified, and Mr. Riley shut off the hose. Mrs. Riley stood up from the kitchen table, her scissors still in her right hand, and went to the front of the house and opened the door. "Carl, did you hear that?" she called, and she told me her heart felt like it was about to burst right out of her throat, the sheer unnaturalness of the sound spiking panic through her. Carl stood on the lawn, the hose sprayer in his hand, his head cocked to one side.